Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bajaj Electricals Limited Q1 FY24 earnings call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello everyone. Welcome to Bajaj Electricals 1Q FY24 earnings call. From the management side today, we have with us Mr. Anuj Poddar, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. E.C. Prasad, the Chief Financial Officer of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Dhruv. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our investor call today. Let me put my opening comments in. We have had a soft quarter performance. I think this is largely due to a soft and muted discretionary consumption environment in the discretionary consumption demand environment in the economy, coupled with a weak summer due to unseasonal rains. If I split up our results a little more for you, particularly when we talk of consumer products, appliances, as well as multi-rituals business, actually has seen a growth but partly offset by degrowth in the fans business because of the unseasonal rains in the summer period. As always, we've continued and tried to balance out and optimize between our top line and margins. We have strived to protect our margins despite the various pricing and discounting actions prevalent in the marketplace and while maintaining a slightly flattish revenue trend. We are closely tracking all of the sector performance and competition in the market. We believe that our performance is well in line with that. We maintained our market shares and strive to balance our interests in that context. At the same time, despite there being a soft environment, we've not shied away from a strategic focus on product launches as well as brand strengthening and evolution of each of our four brands that we now operate. Finally, I want to highlight that our margins are a reflection not of inherent weakness that we have but of operating deleverage. If I may share, we continue to build for growth. We are upping and have increased our costs in aspects such as our R&D as well as the setup of a new consumer lighting vertical since the last three quarters. And you're also seeing some impact of the demerger costs getting built in at a corporate overall level. That will stay for the two, three quarters before the growth kicks in. All of these costs are designed to deliver growth. In the short term, in a weak demand environment, these costs do come to bite us, but we are consciously not choosing to descale or roll back any of these because we think these are important for us from a medium to long-term perspective. From an internal perspective, we've done the math on this very clearly. From our internal budget perspective, and had we had, let's say, about another 100 crores of revenue, not of that gross margin on that revenue would have flowed straight down to the bottom line, and therefore you would have seen a very different margin profile. So the point I'm really highlighting there is that what you're seeing is really a trend of external environment. The internal metrics, as we track them, are fairly healthy, and we're very visible and conscious of that there. Last one point I'll bring out is on our logistics, since that is something we've spoken last time too. That transition continues to happen. We have a roadmap on bringing down the logistics cost. We will see visible results of that in the P&L from Q3 onwards, and you'll see improved benefits of the logistics cost optimization. So with that, I'll hand it back to the moderator. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Anirudh Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. So first was on the lighting business. If you could share the split between professional and consumer lighting and how both of those businesses are done. So consumer, we know that there was some softness expected, but how how is the professional side of the business done? Second question related to that on the consumer front was, what are some of the lead metrics that you're tracking, right? So obviously the top line numbers continue to remain muted. But in terms of, you know, the GTM, DRAM, the number of dealers, distributors appointed, if you could share some outlook on that, or what are some of the other metrics that you track that tell us that in the next couple of quarters, things will turn around on consumer lighting as well?
Anirudh, thank you very much. Firstly, on the professional and consumer lighting. You know, consumer lighting is seeing a soft demand environment, so there is degrowth in consumer lighting. On the professional lighting, we had a high base effect due to ESL orders last year in Q1. If you take out the ESL, professional lighting is a flat trend. So therefore, cumulatively, you're seeing a negative growth on the, or degrowth on lighting, but led to high base and professional on ESL. Otherwise, it is flat and it is negative on consumer. Having said that, you know, when I'm saying high base for Q1, we are confident that Q2 will see a growth in the lighting business. Coming to your consumer product side, you know, the various metrics that we track, a couple of them that I'll call out for you. From a market perspective, our market shares, we're looking at various categories. We do continue to grow that. We are growing that in the appliances business. Morphe Richards, which had been soft, has come back. In fans also, we are growing our market share, though we've had a degrowth in this quarter in particular. Just one additional point I will make in fans is that actually look at fans with a slightly larger arc, because you had the star rating regime kick in on 1st January. So there is a lot of upheaval in that category from January till now. So if you look at a six-month basis for that category, that's a slightly more correct way to look at it. And we are seeing those trends, and those trends are positive. One last metric in that, because we've been asked in the past and we've been sharing, our premiumization journey and portfolio mix continues to be healthy across product categories. In fans, I'll call out the data. I think last time we had shared that, that our sub-economy fans, which used to be 80%+ a couple of years ago, in Q4 was about 67% of our total product mix. In Q1 now, that is down to about 58%, which is showing a healthier mix on the economy and premium segment picking up for us.
Right. And on the consumer lighting business, if you could share how we are placed in terms of the entire GTM revamp now, and are some of the lead indicators that we're turning green, or are we still a couple of quarters away from?
I think a couple of quarters away. I'll split that into three things: our products, our distribution, and then the revenue. Our product, you know, portfolio is almost fully in place. So, you know, we have made huge progress in all the, and even this quarter we've shown slides on the products that we rolled out. So there, I think we're on par with the leaders, which is not the case that used to be in the past. On the distribution of go-to-market side, one is internally, our team is fully in place. On the distributor front, we put that in place, but there is a weakness because of the market weakness. So the distributors that we put in place have, quite frankly, not fully employed the best efforts in the marketplace, including feet on street. So they need to see a momentum uptick in the demand for them to start investing in that more fully to get ROI on their investments. So we believe as the demand cycle kicks in consumer lighting, with the product portfolio ready, our team in place, and the distributors appointed, the last leg, which is of them starting to do the push in the market, will see an uptick once we have a bit of a tailwind. I think you should see that. You will see some growth for us in Q2. That's more internal base, but you will see overall market growth, I think, from Q3.
Got it. Final question from my side on the margin front. So if you have any estimate in terms of the GM hit that we had because of not being able to take the price hike in fans?
No, so we don't put out a GM except at a category level. I will share that in overall level, you're seeing GM expansion for about, I think, about sub 1%, but at a contribution level, it's about a 2.4% overall gross margin expansion that we've had in our business in Q1. And that goes back to my earlier comment, had the operating deleverage not been there, that would have also been visible in the EBIT margin.
Right. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Renu Baid from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. The first question is, the consumer business, how do we look at the overall margins trajectory improving once demand stabilizes or recovers from third quarter? And in your view, how far are we now from our targeted levels of 10% plus or double-digit margins? EBIT margins?
So, Renu, thank you very much. You know, I know that's the concern. You know, and that's why I brought out that in my opening comments. The internal metrics are healthy. To my mind, this is purely a question of operating leverage or deleverage. As that kicks in, the demand kicks in, we are very confident that you'll see a sharp uptick in margins there. So that's my answer to you, both of these aspects that you asked.
Sure. Secondly, in terms of the new BE-rated fans, compared to the current pricing and the costing, what kind of under-recoveries still continue in this segment? And how are we looking at the overall, the entire revamp of the positioning that we had done in the last 2 to 3 quarters? How is that resulting in terms of growth for us across segments and categories?
So on the fans, I think there is yet between 3 to 5% under recovery. I think a lot of that is led by competitive forces. We've always maintained that we are happy not to be drivers or leaders in price erosion. Unfortunately, some of competition is doing that. I think it would be healthier if we were all able to pass on these cost increases to the consumers. Maybe as the tailwind kicks in, you will see that happen. We will not be laggards as and when the market forces allow it to happen. On the overall, you know, the brand repositioning, etc., while that's not, you know, visible in numbers right now, we are doing brand track studies. These are category by category. Just yesterday, I've seen another set of brand track studies, and that is showing very clear metrics in the brand track studies for us. So we have visibility on that part.
Any updates on Nirlab that you can share in terms of how are we going ahead with respect to the distribution reach and growth in the portfolio?
Yeah, so Nirlab, you will see by first half of September, a relaunch of Nirlab. Everything is ready. We've done a trade announcement 2 weeks ago. The first half of September, you will see a consumer communication on Nirlab with the new positioning and product range also.
And on the distribution side, you think we'll have to invest materially, or we are reasonably covered on the distribution and GTM for Nirlab?
So actually, distribution has been in place for a while now, so that has been waiting for a launch from our end. We timed that so that pre-festive we are ready to launch, so that in the festive period, we get the benefit of upside on Nirlab also.
And lastly, related to the EPC business portfolio, quickly in terms of what kind of timelines can we look in terms of the listing of the portfolio, and on demerger, how do we look at the balance sheet of the EPC business at the onset of the company getting listed and starting afresh?
So, firstly, in terms of timeline of demerger, Renu, I would just say we are at the cusp of that. You know, like we've shared, all the statutory authority approvals are in place. There's last leg of documentation process, transition compliance, including with the clients and contractual, you know, transitions in place right now. While I will not announce a public timeline, I think it should happen fairly soon from now. Okay. Post, you know, the demerger, then obviously listing will follow in course, whatever the statutory timelines are, between 30 to 60 days. I think it's 30 days. Yeah. On the balance sheet, I'll bring in our CFO, EC, to talk.
Yeah, so Renu, so whenever this will happen with retrospective effect, because our appointed date is of 1st April 22, as on which date the capital employed for the business was 550 crores. So what will happen is the difference between the capital employed as on that date and the date on which we make it effective will go to them as cash. So the capital employed will remain as 550 crores, which moves to them.
Okay. Got it. Sure. Well, thanks much, sir. All the best. I'll get back if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Renu.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One, you said discounting by competition, you know. Can you help us understand, is it far more pronounced in a particular category or particular geography or a combination of that?
So one, it's a combination of everything. It is happening across in this soft demand environment. Everybody is playing that differently, but there is a fair amount of discounting schemes or various forms of, you know, not taking price hikes, etc., that most competition is doing. And slightly more pronounced in fans, because even if it's not discounting, the costs have gone up, so price hikes not coming in, and therefore on a net basis, that tantamounts to greater level of discounting. So that's across the board otherwise.
Anything specific in kitchen appliances as well?
Kitchen also, but I would say if you ask me relatively, fans is a greater impact, kitchen is lesser so, but it is there in kitchen also.
Understood. Secondly, with respect to, you know, how the demand environment has been, you know, in June, the exit month of the quarter, as well as July, are you seeing any signs of pickup or things remain because as we are getting into the festive period now?
So, you know, if you look at Q1, April, May, June, clearly April and May were particularly extremely weak. June was definitely much better than April and May. So there was a growth trend in that quarter, okay? Again, in June, what we've seen, and let's say fans in particular also, tertiary demand has really picked up. For coolers also, we saw a pickup in tertiary demand in May and June. So that's a positive sign. Some of that did not translate to primary or secondary demand because at that point, people are not stocking up. But even if tertiary demand has happened, I would be more happier for that to have happened because it sets us well for the following seasons and is a, you know, positive sign for that to catch up there. I'll hold off my comments right now in July for Q2. Let that come in. But we are far more positive on Q2 than Q1.
Understood. And sorry, I'm hopping on the margin front. You know, let's assume, like you said, in second half, things normalize in terms of demand environment. How do we look at the margin trajectory? You know, how soon can we expect double-digit margins given the various measures you are undertaking and also at the same time the investments?
So, Achal, I'll never put a timeline, but let me tell you, second half, like you said, I think if demand picks up, we've done our math, you know, the operating leverage will kick in. It would have happened even in these months had we hit slightly higher numbers. We've got the, you know, math on there. Like I said, our cost structures are now built in or baked in for higher growth in the future, and that we're not pulling in. So therefore, it has to come in through greater demand in revenue. Lastly, the one big lever that we see kicking in Q3 is logistics. I think we're yet hampered with some of the transitionary costs that are there, and that will, you know, we map that out month on month, so you will see that kicking in from October. So given that, you will see margin expansion on Q3. On double digit, while we'll not give a projection, it will not happen this year, but assume some point next year onwards, you should start getting closer to that destination.
Understood. Would you be able to quantify what is the fixed cost here, you know, which we are talking about, the operating leverage? What is the extent of fixed cost element in our cost excluding raw material? How much is fixed?
Yeah, so more than quantify, I'll tell you the components of that. Like I said, you know, if you look at overall R&D costs, if you look at the overall costs of a consumer lighting division that we set up for which you not got the upside now, and then overall establishment costs, including, okay, my CFO is telling me 450 crores. I quite frankly don't have the math, so I'll have to reverse to the math on what we're saying here. But these are drive, you know, and then, you know, production, what do you say, promotional costs, etc. We're creating four brands. All of those are coming in at a cost here. Okay. So these we don't want to step back on right now. And yeah, last bit is the digital and transformation technology costs. Those are investments that are going in. We have a digital transformation roadmap that will end by October 24, OND 24. So those are also costs that are getting built in right now. Yeah.
Understood. And just one more question, if I may, with respect to, you know, the refreshed range across categories. Is it possible to get a number as to how much is that contribution, what, you know, SKUs you have launched in last, say, 2 years? What is the contribution now, and how do we see that trajectory moving going forward? Given the step up in terms of R&D and the A&P you're talking about?
So number of SKUs for this quarter we put in this quarterly deck. We've done that every quarter. So I don't remember the full number for FY23. If I remember correct, CPU is about 160 SKUs. And lighting, I don't remember offhand right now, but it would be 500 or so in that range. A two-year number I'll have to see, but I think the year prior also similar, slightly higher for CPU if I remember correct. So it's a two-year number. In terms of contribution, if your question is NPD contribution to total revenues, well, we don't publish that. Internally, we do track that. 3-4 years ago, that used to be in single digits. It is well above 20% right now, NPD contribution.
Understood. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. I have more
questions. Thank you, Achal.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me an opportunity. It's related to the fan and you had mentioned that and also in the PPT it's around 8.5% of a degrowth in the value terms. And similarly also you had mentioned that your premium fan contribution has also increased. So it's fair to assume that the volume degrowth is in the double digit kind of?
I haven't done the math, but yeah, I think it should be in a very early double digits.
Okay. So, and also if you can talk on, because you are one of the, you know, the largest players in the fan segment and that too in the economy side of a business. So is there any change in the market share on that front as well?
For us, you mean, obviously?
So as the volume degrowth is in the double digit range, so is that a competition is a...
So that's why, okay, I did mention, I think in the opening comments, one of the other answers, we are growing market share. May not be on Q1 in particular because everybody has, you know, since the January star rating regime, there's a lot of, disruption in the fans market overall between the primary players, the distribution and the retail network, etc., and how stocking is happening of everybody's portfolio. So if you look at 6 months, we've looked at a 6 month trend from Jan to now, we only gain share. That is true of last year and before that also. So what I'm trying to say is post the transition to star rating regime also, we've looked at and our share has continued to grow.
Okay. And the next question is, sir, if you can give the contribution in the consumer product segment for appliances, fans, and refrigerator.
So we don't break up contribution by these categories. We don't share that.
Okay. That's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Praveen.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So two things. Can you share the update about Next brand and what are the products that we have introduced, the categories that we have introduced? How premium is the price point compared to our existing range of Bajaj? And second thing is now Nirlep that we are launching. So post Nirlep, what will be the positioning? Will it be a premium end of the market or low end of the market? Also at some point of time, it used to be a pretty strong brand in Western India. So I'm assuming it might have lost some brand appeal since there were almost no sales. So how do we plan to rejuvenate the brand? And now since we will be investing in two categories, Next and Nirlep, so do you see that taking additional ad spend and initial launch expenses and impacting the margins also? Yeah, that's it from my side.
Yeah, so you know, let me answer all your questions. One is Next is a soft launch right now. It's time to actually grow and be a more push launch by next summer. It is largely fans category that we've launched, entirely focused on the fans category. We've launched about, I think, 8 to 10 SKUs in that category. The price range for that starts at about 2500 and goes up to about 7500 at an MOP level. Okay. And therefore, if you see versus Bajaj sweet spot mostly was at a 1300 kind of a range. While Bajaj did have and now does have a broader range, and that also goes up. That goes up into 3,500, 4,000 kind of range. So Next clearly starts at the top end of Bajaj and goes much higher. In terms of Nirlep positioning, tagline is everyday health. So positioning is going to be around health and nutrition. All our brands, we believe the positioning is never at a price point. So premium economy is not the positioning. That can be a price offering of different products. The positioning of a brand is on a proposition layer. So Bajaj is built for life. Nirlep is on feel the future. Next is on Field of Future, and therefore Nirlep is on Health and Nutrition, tagline of Everyday Health. The products, in terms of which segments they appeal to, based on the different product categories, whether it's cookware, pressure cookers, etc., we'll have a different range of products that will cover. But then again, in the case of Nirlep, it will be a wider range of coverage than historically had. to your question on the brand strength, historically, you're correct. It was historically a Western region brand and has been a brand that has been quiet and out of consumer mind for quite a few years now to come. So therefore, now as we relaunch, I think it will take a 2-3 years for that brand to get fully resurrected. And when we do that, we will not keep it as a Western region-centric brand, but it will become a pan-India brand. But that will require investment and, you know, consistency over the next 2-3 years. We will give it that growth. Again, in that brand, it's not just a brand, but product category expansion is something we are doing. We are starting with pressure cookers, and you'll see us, you know, launch in September at a consumer level. So we will keep expanding that portfolio in Nirlep also. Sorry, remind me your last question. You had one more question.
Pricing of next up.
Yeah. Did I answer all? I think you had one more sub-question to this.
Yeah, so pricing of the Nirlep range means compared to the
pricing like
brands.
Focusing more around health and nutrition, pricing will straddle, you know, based on all the, so pressure cookers will be different, cookware will be different, etc. It will straddle various price points based on where we see the different portfolio play out there. But it will be broader or wider than it used to be in the past.
Okay, so sir, understood. Lastly, you initially indicated that we have gained market share. So if you can indicate as far as in detail possible, the key market share gains the key categories for us. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we don't share or publish that. The only reason being there's no official accurate data available for that. So while we do subscribe to all the data, Market Pulse, GFK, etc., that shows us that. But till it is not accurate data, we don't publish that data.
Okay. Sure, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anuj. Good evening.
Good evening, Rahul.
You know, my first question is on the margin. Now, the road to double-digit margin will necessarily come through operating leverage. Given your A&P is higher than peers, obviously, you know, when the revenue picks up, you know, that operating leverage will kick in. But, you know, you are spending on 4 brands, you know, and some of those brands are at very nascent stage, you know, like Next and Nirlep. How do you intend to really see the benefit of operating leverage? You did talk about R&D spend. But what are the other levers you have in your hand, you know, to see the double-digit margin journey that we have been waiting for?
So, Rahul, a little bit of repeat of what I've already said. You know, one is operating leverage, clearly. We are spending on brand and R&D, but also if you look at logistics, to my mind, is one yet remains where over 2 years I should have yet have about 2 to 3% optimization. Some of that will start kicking in from Q3, like I mentioned there. Also, lighting, if you see and look at us consolidated now as an FMEG company, lighting already seen a healthy uptick in, you know, margin. That will continue to grow also based on product portfolio mix starting to become better. So let me put in 3 buckets, operating leverage, product portfolio mix becoming better, and, you know, attacking some of these inefficiencies such as logistics.
Okay. Now, coming, you know, my second question is on Next. Do you see Next as only a fans brand, or do you see that as a premium brand or extension of Bajaj product? What is really the product position as far as Next is concerned?
So for now, it remains focused on fans. We will see in the future what we do. We think fans are a large enough category for us to focus on and with 2 brands.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1. Next question is from the line of Anirudh Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Few more questions from my side. First is on the generative channel, right? So GT obviously has seen significant degrowth in this quarter. Is there anything to read into the urban versus rural GT performance? And I'm asking this question because the alternate channel has done really well in a quarter where GT has degrown significantly.
Sorry, I didn't fully hear. So you spoke of GTV growth and what is the question on the urban?
Yeah, so is there a difference between how urban GT and rural GT has done?
You know, there is a difference and I've seen that now. You are, but I'm little, so I will say this, but take this with a little bit of a, you know, don't take it very literally. We are seeing a little strengthening of rural, but not being fully reflected because urban is actually starting to be weaker than it was in the past. So if you look at most of the commentary last 3, 4, 5 quarters, not just from us, from FMCG, etc., urban was holding up, rural had been weak. Some of the commentary has been about rural green shoots, etc. We are seeing some of that, but we are seeing the bottom half of the urban market exhibit a little sign of weakness on this discretionary consumption. That said, you know, the reason I'm saying is don't take that very literally because some of this data is too shallow. It's literally last 2 months that we've cut that to actually deep dive into this thing. I'd want to always see a trend a little longer term and a little broader before we take that as a genuine trend.
Got it. That's good to hear. And then in that context, you know, we had embarked on this SSG journey on the GT channel specifically. So, I mean, does that still continue to hold and it is just a function of macro revival according to you, or are there other things that we need to do to really get that SSG engine going on the GT side?
Yes. No, so that SSG, you know, holds. We are focusing on WD, which is weighted distribution, more than we historically done. And I think that's also a reflection of our product portfolios becoming more, you know, I don't want to use the word premium, but filling in the product portfolio at the upper end, which we were lacking earlier. So because of that, you know, that's helping us in our WD journey. I think the gap that we had in our context was we were under-indexed in urban markets. So that is also an area of focus for us. So both the WD focus and urban focus are pretty much corollary to each other. That said, it is not at the cost of rural or other markets, so that we will continue to defend. But I do think we will see over the next 2-3 years disproportionate growth for us coming from urban and higher value counters.
Got it. One more question on the alternate channel front. So this quarter we've seen significant growth on the alternate channel. So, I mean, are we seeing very significant market share gains, especially on the MT side?
Yes, and MT has been a, you know, good traction for the last couple of years if you look at our earlier decks also. And again, that's a reflection of our acceptance in urban markets of the new product range of these MTs that historically were not warm to our brands, actually, you know, taking well to our brands. And the most recent example of that is, you know, the personal grooming range that we've launched for Morphe Richards online for now has got very good traction right now. So, and that's a Q2 launch. It is publicly visible. Therefore, I'm talking about that. And I think some of that is where we'll continue to see expansion going forward also.
Understood. And there is still a large pipeline of empty stores that you would have, which we've not tapped in, say, regional retail, etc. Would that be a fair assessment, or would it be more SSG-led going ahead?
Both. So, firstly, empty, it's not that we've not tapped the stores, but our presence in those stores or billing in those stores is less. I think the billing and presence in those stores is expanding, while we have a decent reach across MT also so far. But like I said, we're not going to go away from the SSG on GT because I think that will remain the core of, you know, from a scale perspective. And therefore, as demand kicks in back from a broader environment perspective, we do think GT will also grow. Growth cannot come only from alternate channels.
Right. Understood. And my final question on the margin. So, you know, you broke down the margin expansion journey into 3 components. What part of that would, you know, like if we want to expand margins by 4% say over the next couple of years, what part of that would be driven by GM expansion broadly in your assessment?
Very hard to, you know, put a pinpoint to that, but if I was to take a broad brush, I think about 2% more should come from GM.
Got it. And that is premiumization largely, right?
Mix of premiumization, I do think there should be some optimization on the costs and sourcing front also.
Understood. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question from mine. On the appliances business, you seem to have done very well, about 10% growth. Wondering, would it be possible to share some color on how individual subcategories have done within the appliances?
Srini, unfortunately not. You know, we don't break that up. But as I say, it is broad-based growth across the appliance categories.
Okay, fair. But just some color on how kitchen has done.
So I'll tell you, leading categories are kitchen, coolers, and water heaters.
Yeah. But a lot of peers have reported like weak numbers in kitchen. So just can you just put some order in which how they have grown at least?
No, so I can't, you know, break that up further. But we have had growth in kitchen also, and that's the positive news I want to share. Yeah.
Fair enough. And yes, just on the gross margin.
Your benefit also call out, even mixer grinders, etc., which had been subdued for a few quarters now, we started to see growth in mixer grinders category also.
Okay. And I just want to understand on the margin lever, and I know on the gross margin improvement levers, the premiumization is one important lever. Just on the pricing itself, I want to understand, is there a scope to reduce the discount at which the like-for-like products are sold under Bajaj brand versus their market leader?
So I'll put it differently. I think a lot of the discounting that you're seeing now is desperate reaction to a weak demand situation. And therefore, I think getting that tailwind and demand up is very important, because it's not just operating leverage in terms of a P&L, but a lot of this, you know, desperate on healthy discounting will go away from the market as that kicks in. So, which is why I believe that, you know, these are not normal, but these are, you know, will have far more significant impact on for all of us in a positive sense.
Right. Thank you for answering my question, and all the best.
Thank you, Srinidhi.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Is it possible to get some idea, say, from FY23 data, you know, in terms of the sales mix, how much would be e-com, modern retail, GT, and what we gather is that there is slight rethink about the TOC or RREP. So, you know, any color in terms of how the mix is going to change?
So, Achal, if I got your question right, firstly asking FY23 overall channel-wise mix, right?
Channel mix, yes.
So FY23 on a full year basis, trade, which is GT, was about 65%, and therefore rest being alternate. In that, I can call out e-commerce was about 12%, and then, you know, modern trade and government. Okay. Right now in the June quarter, trade is down to about 61%, and therefore alternate is up to 38 to 39%. Yeah. In that, again, e-commerce is about 11%. Yeah. Because modern trade and others have grown well. I'm sorry, your second part of the question was?
So, with respect to the RREP or...
Yeah, so RREP, no. So, there is no rethink on RREP, but I think the way we were applying RREP is something we made a little more evolved or sophisticated, what we're calling RREP 2.0. Earlier, we'd applied the principles of TOC as a one-size-fits-all, so across all categories, across all geographies, urban, rural, etc., and across those states. I think we made some modifications to that. To where it benefits us in the categories of markets, we've kept it. I think there are some nuances that were required. For example, lighting business has different nuances. Fans has certain nuances. Kerala market has some nuances. And as we try to go deeper down on rural or absolute top WD counters, I think you need to cater to some of their unique requirements. So all we're doing is creating a more sophisticated RREP 2.0 is a full grade internally that we have. It where what sits, and there's a little bit of a, what I would call a hybrid or evolved RREP that we are rolling out right now.
And
I'll give you one more example of that. You know, in the RREP, we had collapsed all BUs and all product categories into one CP, and therefore all distributors also, you know, one distributor for all product categories. Quite honestly, that was not doing justice to us or the distributors, because they did not have either the bandwidth or the inclination of focus on all categories. So there again, when I say hybrid, we started doing hybrid depending on each market and each distributor. Where a distributor has inclination and capacity to service all the product categories, we maintain that. Where distributors or markets require different, you know, distributors for different product categories, we've differentiated on that. So that's what I mean by RREP 2.2. We've just re-looked at the model. It's yet RREP, but a slightly more sophisticated model around that.
And in that case, do you see A, the conflict, and B, any impact on the sales in the transition, and how long will this this transition or changes which will take place?
No, so I wouldn't call it as conflict, but I think we will see upsides on that. For example, consumer lighting. Now you have some cases common distributors for consumer and lighting, in some cases different. Again, when we're talking Nirlep or the new next brand, we are going to, again, have a similar hybrid thing where some places is common, some it is not. But the upside is not fully visible for the reasons that I explained earlier. In this market, you know, distributors are not necessarily investing in the lighting go-to-market fully, particularly in the new people getting into this business established. It's fine when they're newly getting into that. You wait for a little tailwind for that to come. So in Nirlep, you know, once the launch happens, then we'll start seeing that. In next, you know, by next summer, you will start seeing that, etc. So I'd put it not as conflict, but, you know, this model takeoff will start happening as each of these segments or market or categories start taking off.
Got it. And just last question, with respect to the in-house, what is the mix, you know, as of now? And how do you see it evolving over the next 3 to 5 years, given now we are as good as a pure appliances company? How do you see that mix evolving given the cash flows and the focus on the business?
So, you know, our mix on consumer stays between 15 to 20% in-house. On lighting, our mix has gone up. That's about 30%+ that is in-house. But more important is the mix within the in-house. So the what we are making in-house and what we're making outside, that is constantly evolving. So lighting, for example, we pushed out some of the consumer lighting and brought in more of the professional lighting, higher value-add products. Similar in consumer lighting, focus on the higher value-add products and stop doing so much of lower value products. So on the consumer side, for example, I think I've shared this in the past, while our mix and fans is changing at the product level, so too is our manufacturing mix. So higher value premium fans, whether it's Max or Bajaj fans, is something we're doing more and more in-house, including putting up a very advanced paint workshop, etc., in-house. Similarly, on the mixers or water heaters, etc., we're upgrading the quality of profile of products that we're making in-house versus some of the more routine products is what we're moving out there. That churn will continue because every time as an NPD comes in, we typically try and balance out NPD production, put a higher fraction of the NPD production in-house for various reasons there. Going forward, you know, I don't have a number. I think lighting that 30-35% may go up, I don't know, 40-45% or more than that. Consumer will be much below lighting. It will be sub 30% is my guess, or thereabouts around 30%. That said, to us, the driver of a lot of this decision-making also ROCE metrics. So we don't want to look at margins in absolute, but overall ROCE, what is healthier from an ROCE perspective.
Understood. This is very helpful. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Incred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So first question was on life cycle of a kitchen business. Nirlep, you know, I'm not very sure, but when it starts, you know, you predict it, but when it actually takes shape going into the rest of the festival season, how does it look like? Like, it will be a 3-year journey, 2-year journey in terms of, you know, getting a top line right and the business profited, or in like 18-24 months of, you know, break even at a EBITDA level and then it turns profitable. So I'm a bit under-knowledged on kitchen appliances P&L. So that's one. The sub question to that was also that kitchen appliances largely is a very regional local play in India, and we have seen consolidation, we've seen other, you know, peers buying out, you know, larger kitchen appliances brand. Most business strategy we are talking about is, you know, taking them outside of their home market, right? So it's more pan-India network, more wider ranges of kitchen appliances coming up in the similar brand names. So largely this is going to be an organized shift to organized from an industry perspective, and then when we do this pan-India, you know, when we increase our distribution channel, how do the margins actually behave? This is again tying up with the life cycle of the kitchen appliance. That's my first question.
Rahul, actually, it's a very multifaceted, integrated, you know, question. I'll try and, you know, break that up into different parts. One is Nirlep. To us, is a 3-5-year journey. It's not an 18-24 months journey. I'm not necessarily meaning from a break-even perspective, but I think from the potential and the target addressable market for that, product categories, et cetera, I think there's a lot of expansion and, you know, diversification possible in Nirlep without losing focus, you know, across all of what I would call NECA range, so non-electrical kitchen appliances. Okay? But there will be a step ladder to doing that. We cannot do all of it at one go, so we will do it in a staggered manner. But you'll keep seeing us drive growth on Nirlep over the next 3-5 years, and actually well beyond that. That said, we will remain P&L conscious, so while there will be some investments in Nirlep, we don't expect it to be a huge drag on the P&L. There will be moderate investments that we'll make. The way we look at it also from a, one of the larger areas of investments will be brand building. I think, like one of the earlier, you know, persons asked on the call, you know, it is a brand that has got a good legacy, but not necessarily a good immediate, you know, past, and therefore it's something that we have to revitalize and rebuild. We will do that over the next 3-5 years as we invest in that brand, because we think the payoffs on that will continue into the future. In terms of your question on consolidation, et cetera, yes, there is some amount of that happening in the industry. I think you will see a greater trend of that maybe 2 years from now, by 25 or so. I do think you will see greater consolidation. I think consolidation will happen in two ways. One is maybe, you know, M&A kind of inorganic actions, but also purely, you know, players shutting off. Even today, you're seeing a lot of the reported numbers. Look at the bottom lines and the margins. You cannot operate businesses at 0%, 0.5%, 2%, -2%, et cetera. So somewhere people will have to make a call on capital allocation and what kind of returns and ROC you want to generate from these businesses. So that, I think, will trigger various forms of consolidation 2 years from now. Okay, in that way, very clear. The other lever or form of consolidation is unorganized to organized, which was another part of your question. I think that trend is very clear and secular that you're seeing across product categories. You know, different categories are at different levels of unorganized and unorganized. I think the non-electrical kitchen appliances, that is cookware, et cetera, has amongst the highest levels of unorganized market share. So I think that, and therefore, that goes in line with my earlier answer on Nirlep. Actually, Nirlep, not just 3-5 years, but I think it's just got a 7-10 year runway as this shift from unorganized to organized continues to happen, and we will continue to ride that shift there. To your question on globalization, I think that we have to understand globalization in these categories will not play out like in many other categories. While fans has got a certain level of, you know, export market, the moment it comes to kitchen, kitchen nuances or preferences are very triggered by socio-cultural factors. In fact, not just from a global versus India, but within India, every region of India has very different cultural cooking, eating, lifestyle, you know, habits, and therefore that is reflected in the kind of appliances and nuances that we have across these. And that dramatically changes as you go outside India. So I do think there's very different challenges and product profiles that work outside India than work in India for the kitchen. So that is not easily replicable or, you know, scalable. The other factor I'll put in there when people are talking about globalization or exports, a lot of this is today happening when it comes to cookware, et cetera, in the form of OEM business or contract manufacturing. That is something clearly we are not interested in. We don't see it as a strategic, you know, focus or priority for us. We think there are many challenges with contract manufacturing models. I will not put it out in the financial aspects. You know, you all understand that well. But clearly, we don't think that's the way that we want to go into the future. So any exports or global models that we look at in the near or long term will be based on brand-led, our own business, not on contract manufacturing. Hopefully, I answered your various parts of the question.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Just to conclude this question, so basically, should we build in like 3-5 crores of EBITDA cap losses over the next 3-5 years? Is that fair enough?
I will not give you a number, Rahul, but, you know, you can build in small numbers like you stated of any negative drag.
Okay, get it. On the mix or in terms of in-house and outsourcing, you obviously in the previous question explained a bit. But, you know, highlight in terms of incrementally, you said the shares are going to go up for in-house overall for the company. What would be like a CapEx plan, and which are the products where you're investing going into next 3 years?
So CapEx spend, I'll tell you, for the visible 12 months is, you know, within the range of 150 crores. Okay. Any large CapEx in terms of in-house or factory production, we put it off for 2025 discussion or review. Okay. So we'll evaluate that at that point. And we'll share any details at that point. At least for the next 18 months, we don't expect significant CapEx. And this again comes from two, you know, factors. One is, we just think we have a hands full on doing many things and growth without resorting to heavy CapEx. You know, operationally, product launches, NPD, etc. Rather focus on that than the manufacturing end right now. But also in terms of ROC consciousness, you know, as we build up a balance sheet, cash capital on the balance sheet, that capital allocation decision of high CapEx, you know, changing our performance metrics on this or approach on this, we put it off for 2025 and later, we'll review it at that point of time.
Get it. So we should build about 150 crores next 18 months. Is that correct?
150 crores annualized.
Annualized. Okay. Get it. And lastly, on lighting, consumer lighting mainly, we've seen some price declines on LED pricing. I hear that it's global. It's not only India problem. And there is no import dumping happening either on LED into India. Any thoughts on, you know, what is the exact trend here? You know, just a bit more detail on this. As in, do you expect it to stabilize now? Or if that continues, the channel will still be wary in terms of stocking up more LEDs and hence consumer lighting will, you know, continue to see a lower year, fiscal 24?
So my view is, Rahul, these are two separate issues. There is price erosion in LED. That's always been the case for many years. It continues right now. But I would say the magnitude of price erosion is single digits right now, unlike it used to be double digits in the past. Okay, so I think the scale or magnitude of, you know, the sharp timelines on price erosion is definitely reduced. Okay? That said, it continues to be a headwind against growth. So I think the issue of, you know, lower total sales or, you know, consumer demand on consumption lighting is more led to demand factors and the economy factors than the price erosion. So as that consumption, consumer demand, discretionary demand, housing, interiors, etc. comes in, I think that will pick up irrespective of price erosion. And you've seen that in, let's say, minus the last three quarters or four quarters before that consumer lighting business was growing in India, and I think that will come back. So irrespective of price erosion, I think, I don't know, whatever time frame we take of overall consumption demand coming back, you will see that trend also in consumer lighting. And therefore, our task really is to make sure our growth in this business is more than the deflation effect of price erosion. And we've done that in the past. So if you minus the last one, we've done it. We will do it again. There's not a problem on that. Sorry, one last point to add to that. The other counter to this price erosion is that price erosion is usually more accentuated at the lower end of the market in terms of product, commoditized products, the basic lamps, etc. The other solution to that is actually to keep adding more value-added products in, which is what we're doing on consumer lighting. In the past, we did not have that. So if you look at our product range on consumer lighting that we've been showcasing the last, you know, 3 to 4 quarters, that value-added products are continuing to grow, and therefore the margins in those products also are healthier. You are seeing uptick in our lighting margins over the last many quarters, even this quarter, while it's a margin uptick, despite, you know, revenue degrowth, you've seen a margin uptick. So as revenue grows and, you know, consumer lighting grows, that margin uptick will be much sharper in lighting.
Perfect. And last, a small one on BLDC fans. I see the share going up pretty substantially. Obviously, more of that has happened since January, Feb. Your experience on after sales, as in the quality of the product and acceptability in the market. Obviously, the sales have gone up, but from an after sales perspective, are you receiving any more complaints? Is the traction very high or is it very low? It's like pretty smooth.
So no complaints right now, Rahul, but typically complaints in BLDC because of PCB, other factors, would start coming in 2 years hence, okay? And that is something we are very conscious of, that, you know, while there's a positive side to BLDC in terms of energy efficiency, there is a positive to induction technology. That is not an outdated technology. It's not a weaker technology. Maybe it's as good or better if you look at a longer 5-year perspective on the product, you know, etc. But the life of a BLDC fan, induction fan, is different. And you will see across, it's not any particular manufacturer brand, you will see some impact on service and claims and, you know, PCB failures, you know, between a 2 to 5 year time frame on BLDC fans. So I think a lot of that will start becoming visible again 2 years from now across the industry. Okay. Coming back to my view on the market with the new regime, today you're seeing the market segment itself between one-star fans and five-star fans in a perception that five-star is the go-to for energy efficiency. In reality, I think ultimately market will converge towards the three-star fans or four-star fans also, which today are very, you know, seeing very less traction. When you look at every other product category, whether it's ACs, refrigerator, etc., actually three-star and four-star, you know, product offerings account for greater share than five-star. And I think that will happen in due course as this category also matures. And mind you, all of that will be induction motors, not BLDC.
Got it. So are we provisioning more for BLDC for, you know, for facing those kind of expenses 2 year ends?
No, so we don't need to really provision higher, and I will not share some of our internal how we've approached that, but we try to address that in different ways, even at a product level, etc.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much, Anuj. This is really helpful. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshit Gulacha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, good evening.
Am I on the line? Yes, please go ahead.
I just have two quick questions. Can we see any takeovers for in the near future, or say something like inorganic growth?
Harshit, even if I was doing a takeover tomorrow, I wouldn't announce it on a call like this. I'm sorry, I was just saying that in lighter way. I understand your question.
Sorry, yeah, my question. Are we interested or something like for any M&A or inorganic growth for or takeover of any brand or something like that?
No, so Harshit, my answer to that is, you know, this is something that we have to be opportunistic about. It is not baked into
a strategy. We are open for it.
We are open to it. And, you know, that's a change from 2 years ago. We are not open to it for various reasons, including balance sheet reasons. I think going forward, we are open to it. But it has to, you know, tick many boxes for us. So we're not desperate or dependent, or will not do it for vanity reasons.
Okay.
And just to emphasize that, therefore, our growth will happen irrespective of inorganic. So we have, you know, that's how we're looking at it.
And when can we expect this EPC to get demerged, sir? Maximum, like timeline?
Again, like I said, hopefully soon enough, and you heard that soon, not very long, not too many months from now.
Thanks, sir. That's
well before the end of this calendar year, well before that.
Oh, that's enough, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much. So I'll just reiterate, you know, what I said at the start. We know it's been a soft quarter, but it is a soft quarter. It's a reflection of the market environment, not anything else. Quite honestly, if you, you know, we've compared that whether at our own level to primary data, or if you look at all the results and compare us with ECD and SMEG results, I think you're seeing that as a common trend and theme across, you know, this segment. Internally, we are very clear that that is not stopping us from doing all the right actions. We will continue to drive the right actions. And as we see markets improve or tailwinds come in, you will see margin expansion kick in, which is, as I pick up, the primary concern you all have, but we are as confident as we've always been on that front. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.